From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. It is Mother's Day, May 8th, 2010. It's a beautiful day up here in the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. And on the phone, I have our co-host calling in. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing great.
What is going on at Denver Dog Works?
Yesterday, we were successful at the Furry Scurry, which benefits the Denver Dumb Friends League, which is a nonprofit animal shelter here in Colorado. Every year they pledge to raise over just about $1 million for their organization, and they were successful once again this year. This was the 18th annual Furry Scurry here in Denver.
You know, they had us. We had those guys on the show last week, the Furry Scurry, and they talked about some of their goals and things of that race. And can you think about just how much $1 million is for a simple, I don't know, probably a 2 mile run walk in Denver's Washington Park?
Well, it's a 1K, 5K, and I don't recall what the entry fees were for participants, but vendors paid $200 for a 10x10 space, and there were record numbers of vendors there this year. There were 30 booth sites for regular business owners like ourselves, and then they had an extraordinary amount of upper-end sponsors on the other side of the park that pay a little bit higher booth fee, but that's because they know it all goes to a good cause.
So $1 million for homeless and adoptable pets in Denver, that's quite a bit. I know the Denver Dumb Friends League is quite a large shelter, probably one of the largest shelters in the Rocky Mountain region. But $1 million would really help out in reaching their goals with helping all those homeless animals, won't it?
Yes, and their main facility is just off of Quebec Street in Denver, but they also have a secondary facility in Castle Rock.
And it's called the Buddy Center, which is about 30 miles south of Denver, and they do a lot of cat adoptions and things like that down there. But they also put on what they call the Wagon Trail event. It's in September, and we talked about that just last week on our show, and that is to benefit the Buddy Center, and we're going to try to take part in that if we're still down in Denver.
That is correct. But, you know, every year it's amazing how many people do come out. I heard numbers between 10 and 12,000 yesterday, which is phenomenal. I know last year they had 10,000 people come out. And what was good about that is there was another rather large event going on in City Park this year, which is not very far away from Wash Park. They had the MS Walk this year on the same weekend. And the MS Walk is kind of unique. It's a great benefit as well, but they allow you to sign up your dog, especially because a lot of the participants that have lost a loved one to MS will have their dog come in and represent that lost loved one.
And with that, the Dumb Friends League Walk, that is something that you can participate in with your dogs. And, you know, it was a beautiful day, according to what you were saying yesterday, well above 80 degrees, was it not?
Oh, my goodness. We hit the park at 5:30 in the morning. It was about 42 degrees, and we did not leave until 1 o'clock. By the time we left at 1 o'clock, it was 85 degrees. So Tyler and I went through an extreme weather change yesterday morning. But, you know, I have to give some props out to our native representative, Alan Westine, who came out with his wife from San Diego to enjoy the beautiful Colorado weather and take a drive around today. And they had a good time. Now, Native Performance Dog Food is the dog food that we utilize at our training center for our service dogs, and we liked it enough to try it out on our sled dogs. And, you know, I like the results of it for my clients' dogs. A lot of people think that it's only for hunting dogs, and that is not true. They're trying very hard to expand, but they're still considered a baby company, same as we are. Native Performance Dog Food has only been available on the market to regular clientele for 4.5 years.
You know, we've only been in the market for 4.5 years, so I guess you're still a baby until you become a teenager in the business market, huh?
I think it's after that fifth year and you're still, you know, able to put shoes on your kids' feet that you're considered successful.
You know, we were talking about the furry scurry, and I'm sure a lot of people are asking, why are we rehashing this? Why do you think we are, Michelle? I think the main reason is we want to make sure that we get out and promote dog ownership at walks and runs and events like this. They have them all over the country, and what a better way to get out and exercise your dog at events like the Furry Scurry and the MS Walks and the Walks for Heart, you know, heart cancer and things like that. There's so many different ways to get out and help out your pet, and that kind of goes hand in hand with what we're going to talk about today. And our guest and her company is called The Giving Paw, and we're going to bring her up in just a second. But before we do, Michelle, is there anything else you want to add?
No, I'd just like to say Happy Mother's Day out there to all of our wonderful listeners.
There you go. So today, as I mentioned, we're talking to an organization, and it's called The Giving Paw. And we're going to bring her up right now so she can introduce herself, tell us a little bit about her company, and then we'll fire away at some questions. So we have on the line Neely Raffalini is her name, and she is the owner and founder of The Giving Paw. Neely, are you there?
I am. How are you? Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry if I didn't say your last name correctly, but please forgive me there.
Oh, no, that's perfect.
All
right.
You got it right. So you have a company called The Giving Paw. Tell
yes.
us about what that is.
Well, what we are is we're a wish list service for pets, and you can register any pet that you would like. So you could register a dog, you could register a cat, you could bird, whatever you have, because we know that all pets are important. And how we're a little bit different is that the gifts that you can register for are cash gifts, because we know that sometimes what you really need to provide for your pets is cold, hard cash. You know, you need money to provide for your pets. So that is basically what we do.
So is this for veterinary care and things like that?
Yeah, anything that you want. We have, when you go onto the site, we have some suggested items that you might want to wish for, such as, you know, collars, maybe flea and tick medication, and maybe leashes, their favorite toy, things like that. But we also have spaces that maybe you want to put some items that are of particular importance to your animal. So definitely vet care would be on there. You know, maybe they're weekly or monthly. I feel like my dog's at the vet weekly, but maybe monthly visit to the vet, things like that.
So your website is thegivingpaw.com, and you're also on Facebook and Twitter as well, and we encourage people to go check out your site.
Yes.
So let me get this correct. When people come onto your site, is this kind of like a wedding registry at Macy's or something, or can they just give to give?
Well, it's more like a wedding registry at Macy's, but how it's a little different is that when the person gives, they're going to, the givee is going to receive money in a PayPal
okay.
account. So that's how
okay.
it's a little bit different. They won't receive the actual item. They'll receive cash in their PayPal account.
Gotcha. So how did this come about? Why The Giving Paw?
Well, how it came about was, like I mentioned, I feel like I take my dog to the vet a lot, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to afford quality vet care for him, but I realize that a lot of people aren't. And even though I am able to afford the vet care for him, I know that it's still very expensive. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could get people to just donate for his care? But for some reason, the connotation of donations versus gifts is a little bit different. So I thought, well, I should just create a site where instead of getting things that I don't really need anymore, like I don't really need things for my birthdays, I don't really need things for Christmas or Hanukkah or Mother's Day. You know, I don't really need things. I'd rather people give me money so that I can take care of my dog and buy him things that I need. So that's how the fight came about.
So is this a national thing? I mean, what's the response been? You know, we were talking a little bit ago about the furry scurry in Denver. Mm-hmm. Where are you guys at anyway?
We're located in northern New Jersey, just outside of New York City. But it's an international. We've been up since mid-February, and we've actually had a really great response.
Okay.
I have some clients in Canada, all over the U.S., though. It's starting to really pick up. So
we were talking about the furry scurry in Denver, and people pledged and donated up to $1 million for homeless pets. So people in America by no means are a very frugal society when they think about their pets. We give and we give and we give and we give. And something that comes to mind is up here in Alaska, there was a guy that kind of had like a puppy type mill for some northern breed dogs, and they were all confiscated, and they went to the shelters, and they end up raising something like $30,000 in just a matter of a couple of days, not only in food and in cash, but also in, you know, dog houses and all sorts of other things just from people right here in the Mat-Su Valley. So we're also a very giving society to people in need that we don't even know, which I think is sort of like a site that you have. So my question to you, Neely, is, when, you know, I'm looking at your site, I come across it on Facebook or whatever, and I think, yeah, this might be a good idea. Who does it go to? Let's say I want to donate 10, 20, 30, 40 bucks to your cause. Does it go just to the giving paw and then you kind of give it out, or how does it work?
So it works that, let's say you registered on the site and you would have your own wish list page, or you could put any animal that you have. Let's say I'll just use one of your dogs as an example. So you would create their own page. You would put up their photo. It would be exactly like a registry page for a wedding. Let's use that as the example how we had before. And then using some social media tools that we have on the site, Facebook, Twitter, you can send those out to your friends and family. So it's really directed towards it being more personalized. So you
right.
would send that out to your friends and family. So it's really not intended for just anyone to come onto the site and donate. It's really for it being a personal experience where you create a page for your pet and then you encourage your friends and family to donate, or I shouldn't say donate because that's what I was trying to get away from, but to give gifts for your pet to have, you know, for their vet care and their other needs.
Right. So it's not necessarily a stagnant site. It's more of a site where people are going out there. There's a place for people to land, I guess.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
And it's one of a kind. There isn't anything like that.
All right. So, all right. So,
yeah, so it's still I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say it's still evolving. Like I said, we've only been up since mid-February, and since it's so new and there's nothing like this, it's still, you know, evolving and taking shape as it goes on. So,
right. And, you know, with vet care in particular, it can be very shocking when, you know, when you take your dog to the vet and you know, God forbid that he or she has cancer, and they say, well, we can do this or we can do that, but the cost is this. And unfortunately, in our society, the cost often determines what care that we're able to give to our pets. I've seen many occasions, unfortunately, where a person will come into a vet office and they'll say, okay, it's $2,000 to remove this tumor. And they'll often say, well, you know, I just can't afford that. I'm going to have to put him down. Is that one of the reasons why you started this?
Yes. And I don't think that people should have to make that choice. And if people have kind of funds set aside to have those funds allocated, that they've been given gifts over a certain period of time, and they have those funds allocated and they have a certain pile of money there, then they won't have to worry about that if they have that situation where, as you were using that example of they need that $2,000, well, then maybe they have, if not all of it, at least a portion of it where they don't have to make that choice. So, and, you know, vet insurance or pet insurance is something that's very important as well. But my dog has a heart condition. He's had a heart condition since he was born, and he's not eligible for pet insurance. So even though I would say that that's a great solution, it doesn't work all the time. So
I was unaware that they even had disqualifications like they do for people. That's interesting.
They do, pre-existing conditions. It's
I never knew that. So Michelle, do you have a question for Neely?
Now, I know it's getting more and more popular, especially for people out there that are choosing not to have children or just simply cannot have children, and they are incorporating their dogs into more and more of that type of a lifestyle. And, you know, I have three kids, and when I had my three kids, I had a lot of aunts and uncles and grandparents on both sides of their family. They wanted to open up an account sort of like what she's talking about. You know, my kids are older, so it was still popular to get Gerber insurance. It was still popular to pass around, you know, savings accounts. For instance, you didn't have to open them up with a lot of money 20 years ago. It was $5, and one of my kids still has an account that has $5 in it because the person that opened the account never put any more money into it. So I think that it's a good idea, and with what we have in social media now, it's easier for people to start up these accounts. I'm surprised that there isn't something similar for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for just when you were mentioning the social media, for each, when you sign up for the Giving Paw, each page has a unique URL. So you get that URL that you can pass along to your friends and family, and then you also have, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and then on our Facebook page, we have the standard registry cards, and we have cards that say, my pet's having a birthday party, my dog's having a birthday party, my cat's having a birthday party, things like that. So if you're going as far as having a party and you want to have this kind of as your present, or you want to be a little bit more creative, we're starting to do things like that. So, you know, we want to make it fun, too, and kind of encourage people to, you know, get a little creative with what they're doing. So we're trying to have a little bit more things that we're offering. So,
well, I am all for people thinking outside of the box, and I think that you've really done this. And it's a very unique concept. And my next question, Neely, is what has the response been?
It's been good. I mean, like I said, we've only been up since the middle of February, and it started out a little bit slow. I think once I clarified the concept a little bit, as I mentioned, this is the only site of its kind, it really has picked up. And I have a blog on the site, and I just opened a store last week, so on the site as well. So it's been really popular, and it's gotten a lot of great feedback. So I'm really proud of it. So
also on your site, you mentioned your blog, and something I want to bring up is, I believe, is just another way of helping. And on there you have three ways to help animals. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, that was just one of my blog posts. I had written an article just for myself where I had written 25 ways to help animals. But one thing that I did want to mention that we do is that, this is a side note, is that each month we highlight a specific charity or rescue organization, and we donate a portion of our profits, and then we focus on that specific charity that month. So far we've donated to an organization called Pets of the Homeless. Last month we donated to Muttville, which is an organization that focuses on senior dogs. And this month we donated to an organization called the Animal House Shelter, and we're focusing on animals from their shelter. So I just want people to know that I really care about animals in general, and So if anybody knows of any specific organization that they want, that they would like featured, so please send me a comment on Facebook or to send me an email. That I would really appreciate that.
So, Neely, if people are donating on individual pages to individual people, mm-hmm. how are you guys supporting yourself? Is this a volunteer effort, or do you take a portion of the donation, or how does it work?
So we take 7%. So the person who registers is never charged anything. So it's free to register, free to sign up, and the person who gives the gift is charged 7% of what the gift is. So if they would give a $50 gift, for example, they would be charged $350 on top of that. So
very similar to the way that PayPal does it already is if people aren't familiar, when you donate money or when you give money to somebody on PayPal, there's an option on there on who's going to pay the PayPal fee. And I guess you guys have it registered right now where the donor is charged the PayPal fee, which also goes to you guys. So if somebody gives $100 to you know, their friend's dog, $7 of that would go to you guys, and then about 3% or so would go for the PayPal. So would it go? So it would cost about $110 to give $100, is what you're saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And the response has been very good.
Yes. How has it
been received by the people that are being donated to? Are they getting their needs met? When people think, okay, wow, I have a $2,000 vet bill and I'm asking for donations and they hope to get all the donations as fast as they can, what have the goals been like?
The goals of the person who's
asking for the donations. Has it been as well, or are they still, you know, kind of, wow, I still need this to do this?
Yeah, I think the second part where they're still maybe a little bit unsure of what exactly to ask for, and so I'm going to be adding some more things to the site, such as video blog and things like that, where to make it a little bit more clear of some things I would suggest, because most things that people have been registering for so far have been toys, flea and tick medication, like I mentioned, is really popular. Boarding is another really popular item. Already for Christmas, people have been registering for boarding. And I would say the other most popular, I would say those are the top three things. So people haven't really been registering for that many vet items.
Okay.
So
help me and the listeners understand this a little bit. If somebody is registering for boarding,
mm-hmm.
for example,
mm-hmm.
if I'm a person that wants to donate for that, how do I donate boarding? You said it's only for cash, but how
mm-hmm.
is it, you know, designated towards that or toward? I guess a better example is the flea and tick medicine.
Okay.
How is it? You know, why can't I just send this person, you know, some Advantix in the mail versus, you know, doing the PayPal and doing all that kind of stuff?
I guess you could, but we figured that this is a lot more fun and it's just a whole lot more convenient to do it this way.
Okay.
Because by the time you would go out and buy it and then go to the post office and send it and, you know, drive in your car, pay for gas, do all that, this is just a whole lot easier, and then the person would be able to buy what they wanted. So the person, I'm sorry, could you repeat the second part of your question?
No, that's fine, because, you know, what I was asking was, you know, why don't they just go to PetSmart or whatever and buy the flea medicine or the, you know, the dog toy or whatever? Because the way that you're mentioning is it's it's two friends and family, so it's just not a stranger
right.
that's donating. It's, you know, you're sending out these to mom and dad and brother and sister and, you know, friends on Facebook and things. So this is very family-centric versus just, you know, a charity type thing where they're just donating to everybody. So I think it's a good idea. It's going to cost more than 10% of whatever item that you're giving to end up mailing it and doing the whole nine yards. And just about everybody uses PayPal already. So I think it's a great idea. Michelle, you have another question?
No, I just think that, it works for people that, we don't have a lot of friends and family that do registries. So I think that's why it sounds a little odd to us. But I think it works for people that, are living on different sides of the country, and I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to take off. I really do.
Thank you.
You know, Neely, I can count my family members on two hands, so I don't have a whole lot of people that can donate, But what Michelle did say was very important. You know, all of my family's on the East Coast. My mom and your brothers and everybody, they're all in North Carolina, and then Michelle and our family is still in Colorado, and I'm up here in Alaska, so we're spread out all over the place. But I do think it's a great idea to be able to kind of centralize things and donate. But I'll be honest, and maybe it's a guy thing, I've never done any type of registry at Macy's, or I would love to have a registry at Best Buy. I think every guy would. Yeah, I could think of a lot of things I would.
And myself included, probably.
So what are some things that you're doing that may be a little bit outside of the box? You know, is there a way that you can have an item as well? You know, a lot of people want to donate things, but they also want something in return. And I'm thinking again about the Furry Scurry. Which is all of these run walks. You know, you'll donate the $50 for the entry fee, but you also get this T-shirt. And you'll see people all over the country wearing these 5K T-shirts, that they've competed in, and they'll wear them till they literally fall off their back. I have a ton of those types of shirts. Have you ever thought about doing something?
I understand about those.
Yeah.
That's like the whole point of entering a race is to get
I got to get the T-shirt. What do you mean there's no T-shirt? I don't want to enter anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Have you thought about ways like that? You know, also at some of these events, the Furry Scurry included, if you get to a certain number, you might get a thermos or, the top prize might be an iPod or something like that. Have you thought about ways of doing things like that?
I am always thinking, and so I haven't really come up with anything concrete yet, but I have to tell you that I keep like a notepad by my bed at night because I do my best thinking at night. I don't know why that is, but I've thought about a gazillion things, like virtual puppy showers, I don't know why that one just has popped in my head, but, virtual charity events. I'm always thinking about the best way to help both animals and my clients and how to kind of balance that.
Right.
So I'm sure that something is going to happen relatively soon. So the other thing, this is a little off the subject, but I have a lot of customers that ask me about starting their own pet businesses.
Uh-huh.
And so that might be something that I was thinking about doing down the line as well, kind of opening it up to a little bit of consulting. So that's kind of a takeoff of – so I might be doing something like that in the future as well, because I think that's a great – that's something great to be involved in if that's your passion. So that might be something I might do as well. So I'm sure you're going to see more from me.
Well, every business starts with just that simple idea. And I remember starting my dog training business. I started training dogs in the park, and now we have radio shows and the whole nine yards. It took 20 years to get there, but we started very small, and we grew and we grew and we grew, and it all came from one idea after the other. So I think you got a great thing going. I do think that having some type of giveaway would really help out, but I think that giveaway has to come from your guys' end, not from the recipient's end, whatever that may be, whether it be a T-shirt or a keychain or something very cool that somebody would like to have. I think that this could really take off.
I mean, I've done a giveaway on Facebook. I've done a pet photo contest. I've done things like that. So I like to do contests and things. If you were referring to something specific, I mean something bigger when you were talking about the races, I haven't thought that big yet, but I do like to do promotions and things. So
sure. Well, you know, and the ideas are endless. You might have your own 5K walk for the Giving Paw at some point. We never know.
I would love to. That, then I could win it because it would be my own. That would be the only race I would ever win.
There's all sorts of different types of ways to help people in need, and you know we've talked about it throughout this whole show. People are very willing to give. They just have to know where to give.
Exactly.
Because so many times, you know, they know somebody's in need, they know somebody needs help, and it might be their brother or sister, it might be the neighbor across the street, but they just don't know where they need to send it. So I think this is a great way to make that awareness to people in need. So Neely, tell us how we can find you. Tell us your website, contact information, etc.
Okay. The website is The Giving Paw, so it's www.thegivingpaw.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/thegivingpaw. And we're also on Twitter, and our handle is thegivingpaw. And you can send us an email at admin@thegivingpaw.com. And I usually respond extremely quickly. So if you have any suggestions, as I mentioned, about the organizations that we donate to and feature once a month, I'm always looking for suggestions there. Or if anybody has any suggestions on how to improve the company or any suggestions from a technical standpoint, I would love to hear those as well. So like I said, we're so new that we're constantly evolving. So please, please send any feedback that you have or any suggestions. I'm really open to them. So,
well, I will definitely forward over any information that we get. And remember, our show can be downloaded anytime, so you might get a question or some feedback 6 months from now. So,
okay.
So we'll definitely send that over. But, Neely, I think this is a really good idea. I know it's in its infancy, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because I love these new ideas that people, you know, come about, and Michelle and just about everybody else will tell you that I'm one of those kind of the marketing geeks that I love to promote these small startup type things. You know, everybody could, you know, I could have 1,000 guests on a week that are doing the same thing, dog training and grooming and, you know, food and all this sort of stuff. But I like to talk about, you know, types of things like this. And I think it's a great idea. It just needs some time to mature and really take off. And I think you're on the right track. Michelle, anything else you want to add before we let Neely go?
No, I just want to let her know that part of becoming a new business means that you will have a lot of sleepless nights, and I'm on Notepad.
Thank you, Michelle.
So we appreciate you being on, Neely. If you have anything that's upcoming, if you have something exciting you want us to talk about on our show, we'd be happy to do that. We can send over a link or whatever you want to do. Just keep in contact with us. Twitter or Facebook is the best way. You can promote right on our DogWorks Radio page if you'd like. We encourage all of our guests to do that, because since this show does, you know, kind of come and go with downloads, it will remain fresh forever. So let's keep in touch, okay?
I definitely will. Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay,
Michelle,
goodbye.
Goodbye. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to release a brand new song called Tank, and we're going to talk about it just for a second, and then after that, we'll see what else is coming on DogWorks Radio. So we'll be right back.
Whether you're a Schnauzer Shakespeare or a Hound Dogs Hemingway in the making, perk up your ears. Dog Works Radio is teaming up with animal chaplain Sid Corby, author of the award-winning book, Good Grief, Finding Peace After Pet Loss, in presenting the Petlitzer Prize Contest, the pet-related writer's Pulitzer. Animal lovers can showcase their creative writing abilities for nifty awards and for the chance to have their works read live on Dog Works Radio. Categories range from poetry to short stories to persuasive essays and more. For more information, visit the blog page at www.goodgriefpetloss.com and click on the Petlitzer Prize link. Hima Neke and Robert Forto are training for the Iditarod and are looking for corporate and individual sponsors to help chase this dream. Running the race is the easy part. Proper year-round care can cost upwards of $30,000. From feeding, vet care, travel to races, and more, we give the dogs the best. There are several sponsorship levels to choose from. Check out our website at teamaneke.com. We will see you on the trail. Mosh, you Huskies! Gee-haw!
At Denver Dog Works, we offer a service dog training program for individuals nationwide. Each and every service dog that is trained through Denver Dog Works and Michelle Forto and her team has an individualized training plan. Michelle trains for autistic, mobility, medical alert, and psychiatric service work. In each case, the needs of the individual are met, and training of each dog is specialized for their handler's specific needs. It takes approximately 2 years to train a service dog and takes a tremendous amount of patience, handling, and work from everyone involved, including the family members of the service dog recipient. If you are interested in finding out more about our service dog training program, please visit our website at denverdogworks.com or give us a call at 303-578-9881.
And we are back, and on the line from Denver is our co-host, Michelle. Michelle, are you still there?
I am still here.
So in our first segment, we had on Neely Raffalini, is the owner and founder of The Giving Paw, thegivingpaw.com, and they're a registry service for people that have needs for their pets. What do you think about The Giving Paw, Michelle?
I think that it's a brand new idea on an old idea for pets. But it's a new idea for pets, but it's an old idea for kids. You know, we get married, we register, have our families register, we have a baby, we do a baby registry, and I just think that she's got a good idea, and once it takes off, she's going to have her hands full.
I agree, and I hope that it is very successful for her and things work out very well. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had on Steve Christopher, and he has a CD of country songs. And, it was some of the most interesting music I've ever heard, one of our better shows in terms of downloads and listeners. And just the other day I received another song from a Facebook friend, Chris Michaels, and they wrote a song called Tank, and they were happy enough, they're worthy enough to send us over a version of that brand new song called Tank, and they want us to play the entire song. And I don't think you've heard this, Michelle, and I know nobody else has. It's not even on the radio or anywhere else yet. So we're going to play the song Tank, and then I want to talk about it a little bit. Here we go. It's about 2.5 minutes.
Heartbroken, lonely, living in a brand new town. I found a new best friend down at the local pound. A black lab named Reggie, around 3 years old. The only dog that didn't beg me, please take me home. But I did, 'cause he looked sad till I got home. And after that, he chewed holes in all my boxes, made a bed out of my old leather coat, kept digging at the pocket for a letter his old owner wrote. The one that they gave me said when I got home to be sure and read. Yeah, whoever gets my dog, his name ain't really red. called him that, hoping that way he'd forgive me, just in case I didn't make it back. And by the way, his name is Tank. So I kept on reading as he went on to write. Tank likes tennis balls, hates the vet, but he loves car rides. Yeah, I'm the only family that he's ever known. And if you're reading this, I guess that means I didn't make it home from this damn war. So I wrote this letter to be sure that whoever gets my dog, will you please help him forgive me and move on? 'Cause I know how much he'll miss me, throwing balls, taking walks, and rubbing his back. So please take good care of Tank. When I called him Tank, he perked up his ears. Then he climbed up in my lap like we've been friends for years. How that ball rolled down the hall, heaven only knows. But I swear Tank looked up at me like he'd seen a ghost. So I said, hey, I got your dog, but you can visit anytime you want, 'cause you can see he's in good hands, and I think he understands. And hey, while I got the chance, I just wanted to say thanks for what you did and for Tank. Until the day comes I can give him back, I'll take real good care of Tank.
That is Tank by songwriter Chris Michaels and Arlo Smith, and was sung by Craig Campbell. He is a very popular vocal music star in country music. Michelle, what did you think about Tank?
You know, I think it's pretty cool. With the coming news in the last couple of weeks and things, there are a lot of soldiers out there that had to give up their pets, and there's a lot of organizations that you and I are aware of that are helping people, you know, the soldiers, be able to come home and have their pets returned to them. It's kind of a fostering program. One of our friends on Facebook, George Bernalis, actually has a wolf dog that belongs to a soldier, and they don't know who the soldier is. So I think that's pretty touching.
It is, and if you... you know, care about anything about pets and soldiers, this is the song that really pulls at the heartstrings, doesn't it?
You know, I don't think you have to care about pets or soldiers. I think that that song kind of nails it. It kind of nails what all of them are going through.
I agree. And, you know, I heard this song, and it was sent over to me, I guess it was Friday afternoon, and I wanted to make sure that we spend a little bit of time talking about this, because I know that you had mentioned our friend George, who is very active with us on Facebook, and his organization. It's called Guardian Angels for Pets or something. Do you recall the name of that, Michelle?
No, that's not his organization. That's one he joined, and then I joined it. And we're hoping to get one of them on the show soon so that we can discuss this very topic. George has his own organization for the reuniting of Atticus with his soldier.
Yeah, and he was on back in December when that first happened, and I thought that this song really went hand in hand, and I'm going to talk to Chris to see if I can send over a copy of this Tank song over to their organization, because I think it's a great song for their mission and for what they're trying to do, because so many times – people have to be deployed, to fight for our country. And they not only leave, behind families and kids and wives and all that, but there are so many single soldiers out there that aren't married, that aren't, have that extended family. And they do have pets, dogs, cats, birds, and whatever. And unfortunately, a lot of those guys meaning the pets, end up in shelters, don't they?
They do. And to kind of bring us full circle, yesterday I met a wonderful lady at the Furry Scurry, and she asked me if I could help her figure out what kind of dog she had at the end of her leash. And after talking with her, we decided that she has a cattle dog mix, very sweet 13-year-old dog that belonged to her son. And her son died last month in Afghanistan as a soldier. And she said that she was so grateful that she was able to not only get the dog, but be able to care for this dog, because they're both getting older, as she said, and they're both being able to keep each other great company and keep his memory alive.
Yeah, that's a very touching story, and there are so many stories like that every day. And I think that that this medium of social media and Blog Talk Radio and our show and so many other ways that we can make that connection, whether it be small, just by playing very small songwriting duos, music on our show. I think it's a great way to make people aware. And I tell you what, Michelle, I think we're becoming a country music haven. We had Steve Christopher and his CD, Dog Country Songs, which is a major hit. And then we have Chris Michael's song, Tank. What do you think about all this country stuff? We're hard rock fans.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with country. I think it has to do with the fact that you and I appreciate well-written music, whether it's country or not. But, I think that people are touched by country songs because of what we discussed on the show when we, promoed the CD, and that is that it tells a story, and that is what's so enlightening about country music. It really can bring people together if you just sit still and listen. And rock and roll is not always about sitting still and listening.
It's about sweating to the hard rock at the Alaska Club. So it is Mother's Day. I know we are apart, about 2,300 miles apart, but I hope that you do have a good Mother's Day, Michelle. What's going on at the extended family out there in Colorado?
Same thing that we usually do every Sunday. We're just having dinner with my mom and my dad. And, I want to give props to our kids. They've been great help through all of this difficult transition. Running a business is not easy. And having three teenagers that want to go in a bunch of different directions, I want to say, they take to the business, and they made me proud this weekend. So appreciate
it very
much.
I'm going to make sure I call my mom, and I woke up very early this morning when I had to take Bodie outside, and I posted something on Twitter and Facebook. I said, call your mother. She's waiting by the phone. So all of you guys and gals out there that are listening that haven't made that call to your mom, make sure you do that. It's only 3:47 on the East Coast, so it's still dinner time out that way, and she's looking forward to your call. If you're in Alaska, it's not even lunchtime, so make sure you make that call to your mom, and she'll be greatly appreciative of it, because everybody out there has a mom, and they want to hear from you, huh, Michelle?
That's right. And you know what? If you are in an area where you know someone's mom and they can't get to their mom, would have been a good idea just to drop a card in the mailbox.
There you go. So happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. She thought about us the day that we were born, so I think it's our duty to think about them on this day, no matter how old you are. So with that, Michelle, let's close. Next week we're going to have on Dr. David Morgan, calling in from Geneva, Switzerland. He's calling in to talk about his documentary on the documentary channel called Extraordinary Dogs. And I know you got a chance to preview all of the episodes last night. You stayed up real late and watched them all. What do you think about Extraordinary Dogs? Give us a little bit of a teaser for it, Michelle.
Well, that's a good point. I did stay up late and watched it, and I had gotten up early yesterday. But I want to let everybody know, I was enthralled with what I was watching. It wasn't such a something that was so boring that I was going to fall asleep. It wasn't, oh, another show about dogs. It was actually pretty intriguing. I mean, you got to see what dogs do for us as humans and why they are so important in our lives. I mean, you think about it, how many of us have actually gone through our short lifespan without being touched by a pet, whether it be a cat or a dog or a horse or some type of animal that you have a memory of? I can guarantee you I don't know anyone that can tell me that they've never had a relationship with an animal.
And that show, Extraordinary Dogs, really talks about that. And in the six episodes that we were privileged enough to screen, it covered everything. It covered dog sledding in Australia. It covered a little dog that I want to make sure that we can get on the show here very soon. That's Michelle's next job, a little dog that works in a nursing home. We talk about the communication with barks. We talk about nutrition. We talk about cadaver dogs. We talk about rescuing with Newfoundlands, the whole nine yards in this series on the documentary channel. And I know it's on a different channel over in Europe. But unfortunately, here in the United States, if you're not a Dish Network or DirecTV customer, you cannot get the documentary channel. So maybe this show is a reason enough to switch, get away from Comcast and those exorbitant rates that they charge and head on over to the satellite. Michelle, what do you think? Is it going to be a good show next week or what?
Yeah, I do. But I want to mention, you know, you talked about all of the dogs that perform duties for humans. My favorite dog on the show was Buddy. He didn't have a special job as a dog for humans. You know, he wasn't a search and rescue dog. He wasn't a swimmer. He wasn't a dog that performed hearing or alerted to low blood sugar. He was just some kid's dog in Alaska who helped an Alaska state trooper find their house because he was working in his garage and his truck caught fire. He caught fire. The garage caught fire. The trees caught fire. Could have been a disastrous outcome. And the state trooper, his GPS failed, and his German Shepherd actually went out to the road and showed the guy where the house was, and you see it on the trooper's camera. I mean, it was phenomenal. And the dog had never been trained to do that. They rescued the dog, for crying out loud. And I just thought that was proof right there that any dog can be an extraordinary dog, not just the ones that are professionally trained as serviced animals.
Well, you know, Buddy, he was given an award along with the trooper Terrence at the Willow Dog Musher Symposium. That event happened just right up the road from here, up near Talkeetna, which is about 40 miles from here in Willow. And Terrence, just to add a little bit to this, Terrence was the trooper that went on the Serum Run this year and was the presenter of their talk about teenage suicide. So I've had chances to talk with Terrence a little bit, and I know we've talked about him on several shows with Von Martin, the Serum Run runner that ran that. So it's a very small community up here in Alaska, so even on an international show, it has roots to our backyard.
You know, it sounds to me like Terrence might be getting a little rock star Itis here. We might need to actually have him on as a guest, since he is a neighbor of yours.
You know, he's a really great guy, really down to earth, and he is from one of the villages here in Alaska, so he is an Alaskan native, and he does have a lot of stories to tell, and he's also a musher, and he did this thing with Buddy, and even though that was over a year ago, he still gets a lot of talk about that up here in Alaska. Buddy really is the extraordinary dog up here in the Mat-Su Valley.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I'm looking forward to the show. I hope everybody else is. You know, if you are clicking that like button and you want to find out how you can get a copy of Extraordinary Dogs, let us know now so that we can get that in the works for you so that you can watch it, whether you are a cable or a satellite participate or not. We can get you a copy of this DVD.
So next week, Dr. David Morgan calling in from Geneva, Switzerland, or somewhere there in Switzerland. I just have my clock set to Geneva. He'll be calling in. It'll be our first international European guest. So I'm looking forward to it and look forward to talking to Dr. Morgan and talking about all of those episodes when we get a chance. So on behalf of Michelle Forto and myself, this is DogWorks Radio. We will talk to you guys next week. Make sure you do hit that like button. And if you have a comment or suggestion, send it our way. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.